Amen. This will be the second lesson on Christian growth and spiritual victory in your Christian walk. And if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, that will be our starting verse again today. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Most important decision you make in your life is, what do you do with Jesus? You going to heaven or to hell? That begins the Christian walk. After that, do you want to just go in on the merits of Jesus Christ, or do you want to go in earning the rewards that he offers? Okay, because God is a good heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is a loving bridegroom. And they want to reward the obedience of the bride and of their children. Okay, and he tells us how we should live to give him glory, because that's what we're here for, right? For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Okay, so that's what we're here for, and that's how you can go in having an abundant entrance. Now, I know at the judgment seat of Christ, there's people I don't want to be in line behind. I know that, because I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Okay, but I do want to be able to say to the Lord, Father, you said this, and I endeavor to do that. You said this, and I endeavored to drop that out of my life. You said this, and I endeavored to speak to them. You said this, and I desired to please you. Because perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect. Okay? Perfect love casteth out fear, because feareth torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he what? First loved us. So our Christian walk should be a response in love. I love you guys, but I don't love you like I love my wife. You can ask me certain things and I'll tell you no. Okay? Judy and I were doing our prayer scripture verses this morning. Again, Psalm 103, Psalm 91, and Psalm 30. And we were reading them and she looked around and we said something and about the cost of something, and I said, everything I have is yours. Whatever it takes, that's what we will do. And so, guess what? I love you, but not like that. I won't take everything and just liquidate it to keep you with me longer. Okay, but I will her. Judy and I, we had that conversation. I don't know how you feel, but I told my wife, I said, you can't go first. I know you want to see the streets of glory. I know you want to walk on streets of gold. I know you want to do that. You want to see your Savior. But you do better without me than I do without you. So you're not doing that. Okay? And you know what it comes down to? I look forward to the day. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. I'm looking forward to see him. We have the hymn in our hymn book, face to face with Christ our Savior. Face to face, what will it be? And that's what this lesson is about, because it doesn't just end with salvation. That'd be like saying that the most important event in a couple's life is the day they got married. No, that's the beginning of that. If that's the epitome, that's the height, that's what you're striving for, to just get married, then everything's downhill after that. Miserable comforters are ye all. Okay, there's got to be something more to that. You should grow in grace and love with each other. And the same thing should be true in your Christian walk. You know, you get excited about getting saved, at least I was. I couldn't hardly talk. My body spasmed. I was cramping up. That's a different time. I'm not giving the whole testimony on that again. You've heard it before. But the point of the matter is, I was excited about getting saved. But I look back at that, and I thank God for that, and I thank God that's not where it stopped. Amen? So we look at it, you know, and there's no one secret key to the Christian life. You can't go to one scripture passage and say, that's how I got to live. It's not just one place. It's not. It's through the Word of God. And we looked at that last week. We looked at Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, and we told you the beginning of that talks about our eternal position in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a... Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay, I am not what I once was. Ephesians 4 through 6 then tells us some of the struggles we're going to have and what we got to face with in how to grow. Okay, and so we looked at last week. We finished with being filled with the spirits in Ephesians 5:18. So if you turn to Ephesians, because we're going to learn different. Once you're saved, how do you live? Ephesians 5. We'll start at verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. That's what God wants in the Christian life. A newborn babe in Christ, newly saved, can be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you're putting off the old ways and putting on the new man. And it goes on, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. There ought to be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in your life. It shouldn't be, woe is me. It should be, I'm bound for the promised land. Amen? And how you live your Christian walk is going to be determined by how you view your circumstances in Christ Jesus. If you let them control you, or if you're willing to wait on God. Because that's the biggest problem in the Christian walk is it not happening as fast as we want it to. I'll say, Lord, just take that away from me. And he's, well, no, you've got to learn a little bit more about trusting me and some other things before I'm going to remove that temptation. See, but that ideal of singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it doesn't mean you look at everybody in your little Susie Sunshine and everything is happy and gay and glorious every day. But it means you have an attitude, you understand the love of Christ in your life, and that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You have a security in your Christian walk based on what he did for you. And so then you can respond in love to him. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks what? Always. So when? Always for what? All things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are things I had to learn through trial. There's things I had to learn through weakness. There's things I had to learn through victory. There's things I had to learn through association with another person. Can you tell God, thank you? When you see it through his eyes, that's what you need to be able to do. There's some things, honest, true. I prayed, Lord, help me to minister to hurting people. And he said, I'll help you do that. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like yet as we are, yet without sin. So we have a high priest who understands. And then we're told that because of that, we can come boldly under the throne of grace. Well, I wanted to understand how to minister hurting people. So you know what God allowed into my life? Hurt. Hurt. Not just physical for me, but loss of loved ones, unusual circumstances. People that I had held in high esteem let me down. And I realized how much I let my Savior down. And so you learn through that. You learn, if you know how to minister to someone's hurting, because you can not just blow it off. You ever, it's one of these funny things, people who've never had back problems really don't understand. Now, back is one thing with me. I certainly can point to a lot of things, but they don't understand. They go, well, that shouldn't limit you. And they don't know, because, well, you seemed okay yesterday. You were doing fine. Yeah, but then I moved just wrong, and I'm flat on my back. Well, it can't be that bad. You know what I've learned? I've learned that you cannot judge another person's ability to tolerate pain. And you have no right to try to think they're not handling it well. You know what I'm saying to you? You minister to them. You have a compassionate heart towards them. That's what Jesus had. And you realize everybody's pain tolerance is different. Their response or reaction to emotional hurt is different. Their way of grieving. We've got somebody who lost their dad Thursday. They're going to grieve differently in that family. You don't judge that. You try to be a sympathetic ear. And you try to listen, because you know what? God's our sympathetic ear. What does it tell us to do? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Our Savior is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Our iniquity was put on him. By his stripes, physical, emotional, and spiritual, we are healed. That's how you reach other people. That's part of your Christian walk. When you realize it's not so much about me, it's about if they can see him in me. I don't have to point it out all the time. They should be able to see it. You ever notice that when some people, they're jonesing praise? You know, when I say jonesing, that's a phrase. They got to have it. So they go, well, did you see what I did here? Do you look at this? You look at that? Look at this? Look at this? Look at me. That's about me. It's not about him. So when you do what you're supposed to do according to the Christian walk, people notice. And if they start to praise you, give it to the one who deserves the praise. You still with me? In everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in what? The Word of God says that. Now, you give that to a lost world, women with the empowerment and the stuff they try to push today, you know what they say? Men wrote the Bible. They're just trying to hold me down. That's not what it is. God gave us the Word. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Okay, so guess what? Women, I don't answer for that. Wives, you answer for that portion. It doesn't say if your husband's a good guy, he loves you, treats you nice. It says be subject to him. Does that mean you're under his thumb and everything? No, I'm not going to talk and spend the whole lesson on husband-wife relationship. You want to ask me questions about it later? There's parts of that, okay? But you know what? Men don't answer for that part. But see, you know, the Scriptures didn't stop there, did they? Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, I'm willing to die for her. That's not what it says. To give himself for her. Other words, you put her ahead of you, man. You're a servant leader. Gave himself for it. For what purpose? To help your bride just as Christ wants the church to be some beautiful thing, this beautiful bride of his, you want your wife that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. I don't spend a lot of time criticizing my wife or talking to somebody. I remember I worked at Hammer Mill. There was a guy, he was talking to somebody else, and he says, the old lady. The guy was 27 years old. Was he married to his grandma? He says, my old lady, no. I got him alone and I said, you know what? She won't be your lady for long if that's the thought you have for her. In a marriage, the man to lead his home, it's to help his bride and his children become all that God wants them to be. See how it's not about you? Not about the man? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Don't treat your wife right. Yeah, your wife right. You're telling God you don't care what his word says. You make him feel special. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Honoring up here the wife as the weaker vessel and heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You'll never hear me say, I married down. I didn't. I married up. I don't deserve her. You guys agree. I don't deserve her. I say she's beautiful and I'm Shrek. All right? And I'm saying this for the purpose I want you to understand. If you make your wife feel special, she'll be special. I'm not saying that she's going to demand stuff of you. I'm going to say she's going to want to please you. You make her feel loved, she pours out love. You make her feel lovely, she'll try to be lovely for you. You make her feel discouraged and taken for granted, she will feel worthless. Women are complex. Men are simple. You need to understand that. So you have this, and it's telling you how to that. You want to walk in a Christian life. If you're a man, you're married, learn how to treat your wife. That pleases God. You still with me? Let me see. Verse, I'm down to glorious church, so men to love their own bodies. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it as the Lord the church. Jesus Christ gave everything for us. Husbands, what are you supposed to give? He says, your love's supposed to be that way. You notice that woman is told to be in submission and subjection. The man is told to love. The world tells women they should put themselves up. But women don't struggle with love. They love easier. They love deeper without having to work at it. Don't believe me? Study it in the Word of God. Men are told to choose to love their wives. Want to grow in your Christian walk and you're married? You need to do that. If you're not married, you want to get married, learn how to treat you. I pray all the time. People say, would you pray someone come into my life? You know what I do? I pray the person is worthy to have what they want from God. And that they'll treat their spouse the way they ought, and that God would bring them the one who would be a blessing to their lives. That's the way I pray. So I pray for a lot of our young people, young adults. We have a good balance in this church. Okay? But if you can't follow God's word, men, you won't lead your home properly. You've got to learn to follow before you can learn to lead. Okay. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You don't want a mama's boy. Ladies, right? He's to leave that. That's a case of don't make me choose between you and my bride. Don't tell me she's not being honest and I'm supposed to believe you. Unless my bride proves she's not honest, I will take my bride's side every time. I won't condemn family, but I will. That's because we're supposed to be like this. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? They two shall be one flesh. Man shall leave father and mother, join unto his wife, they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you particular so love his wife. See how he's getting back to it? Men, choose to love your wives. And you're supposed to love them by making them feel honored. And see that the wife, see that she reverence her husband. You want victory in your Christian walk? You can protect your marriage by doing what God says. You'll have a stronger relationship with the Savior if you have a strong relationship with your bride or with your husband. You still with me? Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Let's go up a little bit farther. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When you don't teach your kids to obey, you're not helping them to grow in the Christian walk. Because you're going to answer to somebody. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You can honor them, but you still put your bride ahead of them. That it may be well with thee, talking to children who are under the authority of their parents, that it may go well with thee, and thou mayest livest long on the earth. If you don't teach your children to obey you, to honor you, you're endangering their lifespan. I didn't write that. God did. That's part of the Christian walk. That's why the most important job that a couple has is not the house they own. It's not the job they have. It's not the friends they keep. It's not the church that they serve in. It's training their children properly. Because your first relationship is to God. Your second relationship is to whoever your spouse is. And the third relationship is to the children in the immediate family. And the work and the other things and the possessions come after that. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You can't have situations where the man checks out and all he does is go to a job and come home and expect his meal and his kids to behave because his wife is carrying everything. It doesn't work that way. The father is supposed to be involved. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I hate to say it, but many times in marriages, I counsel for people from a lot of different churches. And generally, it's the female who's looking for help first. She knows something's not right. She doesn't know how to fix it. She doesn't know what to do. And I make an appointment to talk with her and her husband if he's willing to come. If he doesn't come, it shows you his attitude. She's looking for help. Okay? When I can get the husband to come, many times I help him to see that his wife feels like she's struggling to stay above the surface. She's drowning. She can't carry it. She needs help. Husbands, it ought to be with your wife that she can do the same thing as you do with the Savior. Come boldly unto your husband. Come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I tell people all the time, I'm always harder on the man than I am the woman. It has to deal with how God set that up for leadership, secondary leadership, tertiary leadership in the family, older helping the younger in the family. God wants to work in our lives. It's part of the Christian walk. Okay, you look at the end of, well, in the middle of Ephesians chapter 6, and it says, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Your Christian growth is based on how much of God's armor you're willing to put on and understanding that you're in a spiritual battle. We can't help it. As human beings, you know what we like to do? It's their fault. Not my fault. I didn't do it. If they hadn't chose that, or they're my problem. No. There's a spiritual war. You're not fighting against flesh. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. It tells you how to put the armor on. What do you need to wear to get into the battle? Most Christians get defeated because they forget that they're in a spiritual battle. They make it a physical battle. They make it about someone else. Maybe you've never had this, but in my weakness at times, I didn't think Judy was treating me properly. I'd give her tit for tat. You ever heard of that? Well, you poke fun at me, so I'm going to poke fun at you. You put me down, so I'm going to... That doesn't build my wife up. That shows that I'm an idiot. Because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And my whole life outside of Jesus Christ was, you come at me, I go at you. You want to do it physically, we do it physically. You want to do it mentally, we do it mentally. But I'll win over you. And I don't win. I will never forget the look on Nancy's sister's face. We were playing the game of musical chairs, and it came down to Lucy and Lauren and me. And what they do is they play the music, and then you got to stop down, and then they take away a chair, and there's only so many left, and the person not sitting is out. And it came down to the three of us, and there was only two chairs. And I sat down in a chair just as Lauren went to sit down, and I threw my hip at her and knocked her over onto the floor. And I sat down, and Lucy sat down. So now they take away a chair. And she went, oh, because 120 pounds against 290. And I was going to throw, and I just went like this. And she goes, and her daughter says, why'd you do that for me? I don't like losing. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I'm not in competition with my wife. Because if I win, I lose. Because I don't make her feel honored. Why do you dwell on that? Because if you can get the home solid, it's easier for the rest to follow. Women, you don't answer for what your husband's doing wrong. You answer for what God tells you to do. Men, you don't answer for if your wife is in rebellion, if you're trying to do it God's way. You answer to God. So you don't have to worry about you making her do her job or you making him do his. You put them in God's hands and you just obey him. That's part of the Christian victory. Because you can't fix something that doesn't belong to you. You still with me? It's a spiritual battle. We're told in Ephesians, or in John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then he says, abide in me, and I in you. Abide in Christ. To to take up residence in your position and in Him. See, because if you're saved, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's given to you at the moment of salvation. Now, He's dwelling in you. You want to abide in Him? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Quench not the Spirit. Live in Him. Live together with Him. To abide means to come alongside with intimately. That's how we're to live with Jesus Christ. He says we're to abide in Him. He's the vine, we're the branches. Look at Matthew chapter 11. You've heard him preach this passage preached on. It's God's call to you. You ready? First thing He wants you to do is to come. The Lord already knows what your issue is, but He wants you to come to Him so that you can state it so you know that He knows. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, come to Him. Give Him that burden. Then it says, take My yoke upon you. What would Christ have you to do? That's the Christian growth. That's the victory in Christ. Take My yoke upon you, and how do you get that? Learn of Me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And when you do that, God's call tells you, ye shall find rest. So it's come, take, learn, and find. That's part of the Christian walk. That's what you're supposed to learn to do. Okay? Romans 6:11 tells you to be dead in Christ. Turn to Romans 6. We'll go quickly in that. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That means put it to death, come to life. Put it to death, come to life. Okay? That means yielding yourself. Look at verse 13. Neither yield yourselves members as instruments unto the righteous, of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know what? Just as the wife is supposed to be in subjection to the husband, every Christian is supposed to be in subjection to who? To God. Look at verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether it be sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? You get the picture? Go on farther. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You learn to live for Him. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your... God doesn't ask unreasonable things of you. He'll never ask you anything of you that He won't give you the ability and the power to do so. It'll be in His strength, not yours, but He will enable you to do that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be ye not conformed unto this world. Don't look like the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Still with me? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members are not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having what? Having then gifts differing according to grace that is given to us, whether prophesy under the proportion of faith, ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or teacheth on teaching, he exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it simplicity, he that ruleth, rule with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You see, Ben, how I jump words there? Ben and I, we read the Bible together. I try to do it every day, just a psalm and a proverb. And he and I both have the same thing. We're a little dyslexic, and we also read at a high rate, so we jump words down. And they come up because my mind is two or three lines down of what I'm stating, so all of a sudden times happens when I sing. Just ask Andrew. I'm reading the hymn. All of a sudden, he looks at me and smiles. Pastor Kenny just drops his head. Okay. So I switched a word around there, okay? It's serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I read that whole passage down through there because it's telling you how to respond and how to act with each other. We don't all have the same gifts. Okay? I can see a big picture thing quicker than my wife can. She sees the details faster than I do. That's how we work through our finances. Okay? She doesn't control them. I don't control them. The Lord does. I help her see the big picture. She helps me see the details, and we see how the Lord would have us to get to where we need to be. I don't have that gift. Okay? Each of you have something God's given you that you do better than someone else. You are important to the body of Christ because you are part of it, and there's something God's given you to do. It talks about gifts being separate. Gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Don't be jealous when you don't have what the gift that you want, someone else has it. Just do what you can. Sometimes you don't have the gift and God puts you in a place you got to do the job anyways. And so then his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Amen? You know what I see? You know what a call is? It's a need recognized. Well, you ought to do, wait a minute, did you see that or did I see that? If you see it, then why don't you take care of that? Maybe you need help taking care of it. Then you take it and you bring it to people and you work together on it. See, because let love be without dissimulation. Okay, be of the same mind. Be kindly affectioned, honoring, preferring one another. It's part of the Christian walk, part of what's needed for you to have victory day by day. Some things should be that we would ordinarily include in this section on Christian growth. And spiritual victory is such as prayer in the church. I'm going to do those in a different section. Being part of a Bible-believing church is part of your call in the Christian walk. Okay?
Well, I think two or three are gathered together in his name. There he'll be in the midst of us. I'm going to have a home church.
I had someone ask that of me 2 weeks ago because someone threw it at him. It's a Christian man not in this church. Struggles trying to witness family, and they try to say, well, I don't need to go to church to worship God. No. You should worship God individually. You should worship God in your home. You should worship God out public so they can see that. You should worship God in the church because he established the church, not me. Okay? So what does God say about that? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves one with another, and the more so as you see the day approaching. I know people who used to give to missions and they thought they'd start their home church. You know what they don't do anymore? They stop giving to missions. God blesses that. You're helping other people because you're fulfilling the Great Commission. And eventually they end up having a home church. Now they don't have a home. Something got lost in the translation. You're either growing or you're falling back. There's no stagnant, steady place in the Christian walk. Turn to 2 Peter, chapter 1. I'll try to finish this lesson up today. And you didn't think I could do it. Neither do I. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto what? How you're living, that you're living, and what? Living it pleasing to him, godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. At salvation, a believer has everything he needs to grow and be fruitful. What do you do with it? It all has to do with how you use what God's given you. You don't need a second touch. You don't need a second blessing. You don't need a second baptism. God's given it to you. Sometimes the Christian walk is having you go through hardships to bring it out because you don't know what you're capable of. That's how they train military. They push them beyond what they think they can do, what they can withstand, what they can accomplish. The Lord does that to you too. He knows what your limits are. The thing is, when I say I can't, God says I can. And I'm supposed to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's a process in your Christian growth. You ready? Look at verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to what? Your faith. Add to your faith. You're supposed to have faith as one thing. You're saving faith. There is serving faith. There is overcoming faith. There's victorious faith. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. You see where it's going? And to brotherly kindness, charity. Why does he stop at charity? It's the seventh thing listed. Seven is the number of completion in your Bible. The ultimate in the Christian walk is charity. It's not knowledge. Faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. He says to add that in your life. It's a good thing to have faith. You need to add to it. You need to test it out and see, okay, Lord, what would you have me to do? It's not instantaneous. You don't grow overnight. Now, Sammy, it seems like this year almost he goes to bed at one height and he's woken up another inch taller. I'm looking at him and all of a sudden, burp, he's caught it. He's a tweener now. You know that with his body? Because he's so good with little kids and he's a teenager and he's trying to fit into this life and he's got little kids who follow him. They've always followed him because he's the Pied Piper of Emmanuel. Don't believe me. You're going to just watch it. Okay, he can gather him around and get him to go. But he wants also to be thought of as an adult. Okay, and so he's growing fast physically and he fits into this one group, but he doesn't know how to come into that older group. And it doesn't happen overnight, does it? Every teenage boy has a problem with their mouth. Everyone. Sometimes men do too. I won't point a finger at you without pointing, as Pastor C used to said, three back at me. All right? And so he's got to learn, well, I can't say that because the bigger kids are not going to be happy and I'm going to get thumped. That's part of being a boy. You get thumped. Okay? And he's having to learn that. And then he also has to learn, as he's trying to fit in there, how he can still be gentle and leading and do right with the kids who are following him. I have fun watching that because it's something you don't learn overnight. Okay, I can use him as an example because he's going through that right now. And besides that, he's one of mine. Now, I know he's Mike and Carla's, but he's mine. Okay? When you're part of this church, you know what? Your kids become mine. I look at them that way. I want to protect them, help them, want to teach them,
Sammy Morso. He's my grandson. Sometimes I expect him to act older than he is because he's gotten so tall. You know what I have to think about? How they used to happen to me. In fourth grade, I was taller than the principal at the elementary school I went to. By the time I was in sixth grade, I was taller than the starting center on the varsity basketball team in the high school I went to. You know what people always expected of me? To be more mature and older than I was. And I wasn't. So I had to learn. I had a bad problem with temper. I can still have that. I have to get it out of the way. And they would push that on me because I was bigger, I was stronger, whatever. But I was a kid. I was a tweener. And they wanted me to be a high school senior in maturity. Didn't happen. It doesn't happen overnight. All right? Lord, I want to be mature. I want to be a mature Christian. I want to be in good relationship with you in everything. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a walk. Kids who don't crawl don't have certain muscles built in them. One of our sons got up. He started walking because of our dog. The other one crawled. AJ walked, didn't really crawl. He'd grab the dog, climb up, and walk with the dog. Michael crawled a little bit, not a lot. They both started running real early, but the difference is you need to crawl. It develops different muscles, helps your coordination, different than if you get up and you start walking right away. Don't realize that? Think about it. Well, guess what? If you don't learn to crawl in your Christian walk and you take on more than you're ready, you can't handle it. So it's a walk. It's a Christian growth. You add to these things. You add one to the other. You don't have them all at once. For the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, what? Okay? Do you have them all at once? Shannon, they still study that? Okay? Learning that part in the addictions program, learning that part for their Christian life. Because you want the fruit of the Spirit. You know, there's a tree. You can produce more than one type of fruit. Don't believe me? You can buy them online. Mix the apples up on a dumb thing. They graft it together. You see why that is important? Because you got grafted into Israel's promises. You're grafted in. Now you got fruit you can produce. But if you don't take care of the tree, what happens to the fruit? You know, to have the fruit be strong, you got to make sure its roots are good. It has good soil and plenty of water. Washing of water by the... You still with me? It says there, with all diligence. It tells us that it's individual path or process for each of you. You cannot measure ourselves by one another. We have different handicaps. I've had the hardest words I ever had learned to say was I can't. Different spiritual moral baggage that we come into our Christian life with. My childhood's not your childhood. Just don't let your childhood, your past, control your present. Because that'll steal you of your future rewards. You're supposed to live by a new law. Love one another. Isn't that the new commandment Jesus gave? Love one another. I love that. It finishes up with charity. That's the love God would have for us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll finish with this. Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some, verse 11, some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the what? Christ unifies, he doesn't divide. The unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the
fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, see, all different gifts, different parts, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. That's our Christian walk. We will continue with the next lesson on the Christian walk next week, I think. I'm trying to think of what is scheduled, what isn't. So all God's people said, amen. Take a break.